Ammon, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm more than wonderful. We followed it the whole time. We were going through and everything went up on the site and everybody sitting on the edge of their seat. We love the fact we get to talk to you and we'll get to see you up there and say, yo, what's up? Now, Donna, you put the link to the other shows that we've done with them in the second hour and stuff. Okay, well, go ahead and put the link to all that. Because I just real quick do a sum up of how we know you and what you did before and everything. But I really want to focus on, you know, the goal and the result of the Oregon thing because we need to, you know, from your mouth, the update on that. But the big thing is we just had Sheriff Mack on, and I've known Sheriff Mack since, God, you know, 94, you know. So we've been doing a lot of stuff together for a long time. And what happened was it evolved into the discussion of where we are now. Trump is kind of like this side effect, a rallying. I don't think he caused it. I think he was as shocked as a lot of people going, whoa, man, do people really hate the media, the deep state, and the parties. Okay, vote for me, you know. So I see this trend coming. There's pressure back, and it's a dam that the liberals... All right, back. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, 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 unafeared here on Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Sandcock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU, default studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, this is what I want to do. Ammon Bundy, we've had on for hours. Donna's going to put up the links to the other shows that we've done. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on stuff we've already covered because there's so much that we haven't. Ammon Bundy, the son of Clive Bundy, there is ranch that been around for a long, 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 long time, you know, in Nevada that you'd scratch out a living, you know, raising cattle in the desert up there. Well, a lot of the infrastructure they built up over the generations, you know, growing up, little kid ranching, and we're taking it away and you're not allowed and we're going to shoot cows and stuff. And it was just the people understood what this meant. Vince Soprenowitz, Las Vegas Review Journal editor, had been covering this for, God, decades before. We've seen, you know, in Nye County and what's happening in Clark and all of this going on, them closing down access to the forest, the roads, it's about the turtles. Now it's about Harry Reid wanting to make some money with China. That's what's going on. So this there's so much of this crap, and we had been covering it. We met Ammon at a prepper show, for lack of another term, but in Scottsdale, he was there, and we had tables, and we're just a lot of activists going on, and we got the whole story from beginning to end on what happened in Nevada. Well, then when he went to Oregon, the internet was bad, and phone kind of, you know, and if you weren't up there, you weren't covering. So this is, and then he was arrested. We go through all the trial. They get the not guilty. All of this stuff. And Lavoie Finicum gets killed. Now, then, of course, Jordan Page wrote that beautiful song, you know, Cowboy Man. I tell you, oh, that was awesome. Well, we get to see him play that in live here. We had a concert, you know, and he played that live. People, man, just tear jerking. So I need Ammon to get us caught up since the last that we talked. But this case was also revolved around still what's going on in Nevada. So right now, let's skip to the end, Ammon, and tell us, how's your family's ranch? How's the BA, TF and the federal government and the Bureau of and everybody treating you? Where are you guys now? And then we'll get on to some of the other stuff and the general out in the public what's happening in the 2020 election cycle. But how is your family and everything going now?
Well, like my dad promised, he was going to continue to ranch on his ranch. My forefathers came into that valley in 1877. That was before Las Vegas even had one tent in it. Las Vegas was non-existent. My family moved in there when no one else wanted it. No one else was there. And they carved a living out of it. And it's been a rough living for many generations, but it's in our blood. And it's in my dad's blood. And so what he's doing now is what five generations have done, and that is ranch. Now, interestingly, Ernest, while we were incarcerated, so before we were incarcerated, of course, they, in the 70s, they began to claim the land as their own, the federal government did. Bureau of Land Management is who the agency is under the Department of Interior. They began to claim the land as their own, and you started to see that on the maps, and you started to see that in the documents, and the ranchers were like, hey, wait a minute. This isn't yours. This is ours. Anyway, so that dispute started. And then I remember when I was a teenager, they decided to try to make what they call a backcountry byway. And that gave them, you know, supposedly more authority and, you know, a control over it. And then they made it certain parts of it areas of environmental concern. And that supposedly gave them more authority and more power and control over the land. This is all on the Bundy Ranch, you know. And pretty soon all the other ranchers, 53, basically was driven off the land. And my dad and Keith Ney said no. Keith Ney passed away, leaving my dad as the only one there. So, and then about 20 years, we kind of go through this process where we don't really, you know, hear much of them other than through the courts and that kind of stuff. They're just trying to take our land away. And then, you know, what happened in 2014. And we moved, you know, we go to help a family in Oregon. We end up arrested. And then while we were incarcerated, remember, they never got any charges. They only falsely accused us of things. But they kept us in prison for 2 years. And during that 2 years, they made it a wilderness area. Then basically, Obama took a map of the ranch, the boundaries of the ranch, wrote a circle around it, said, okay, in retaliation, we'll make this area a wilderness area right on top of Bundy Ranch. And they began to, you know, put up all their signs while we're in prison, right? Put up all their signs, you know, began to do all the things that they do. They began to, you know, police it, and they began to patrol it, and they began to do all their wacko environmentalist things to it. Well, anyway, then we get out. See, I don't think they ever thought we were going to get out because they were trying to, if we were convicted of the charges, we were looking at over 100 years of minimum sentencing. And so anyway, we get out because all of it was a lie, and the jury saw that it was a lie, and the judge got scared and she backed away from it. And so now my dad, he comes home and he goes right back to ranching. Literally, you know, you'll see these federal law, and I do have my fingers up, quote, quote, right, federal law enforcement forcers. My dad will be going down the road with his old beat-up pickup or even his tractor, and they'll just drive around him. They won't say a word. They don't communicate with each other. They just act like each other are not there. My dad ranches, and they do whatever they want to do, whatever they're doing, spending the people's money, whatever, I don't know, a lot of money.
Waiting actually. For him to die.
Well, now, yeah.
I mean, you know, I tell you what, they're just waiting. Well, is he going to be replaced? You know, is it going to be, you know, a family member take on the fight of, damn it? I mean, how's this going to work?
Well, that's a good question because I think one of the things that shocked the, you know, that the whole institution, the federal, you know, powers that be was that all of us boys, because my dad has, you know, many sons, five of us, we all came to the ranch during 2014. We all stood strong with my father. And I think, you know, well, I didn't say this. This came from other people's mouths, but that really took them back, that they couldn't just let Clive and Bundy die because his sons were, you know, going to continue this heritage. And we are. My older brother lives and works on the ranch, and my youngest brother lives and works on the ranch. And all the rest of us in between had to go make a living in other places, and that's what took me to Arizona and how I met you.
This is, it's so America, you know, and with what happened to Lavoie, and we did shows on that. We've had his widow on, and the whole time we've been covering what has been happening to you through other people that have actually gone up and were broadcasting, and they had, so we, you know, we're pretty up to speed on this. But, you know, the thing that was of interest to me was your incarceration and your mindset there, and that they had you trying to emotionally and mentally beat you down. I want to know how that really was for years surviving this and not having any real contact outside. What do you think was going on? You know, what kept you afloat? How strong is your faith now? Well, we're going to find out when we come back in just a little bit.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
All right. When we come back, what do you want to, you know, I want to start off with that. You know, you're incarcerated, you're having communication with whom and how, and you're getting out and doing, you're just, you know, who are you talking to? How are your day-to-days? Are you having communication? Are you, you know, holding court in the prison? I mean, what was the prison like? You know, so just get us, but I don't want to dwell on it too long. Just, you know, skip to the end and get us that, because I want to get to this national mood issue. You come out and you're like, whoa, what happened, this Trump thing, and people are rising up against me. I just want to get your impression of where we are. You see my point?
Sure.
So
absolutely.
Let's do that, because it's good to have you out. I mean, I was, you know, I can't keep track of how many times tears are brought to the eyes, man. I mean,
right,
during all this stuff. And it just always comes down to someone. You know, it's some family, some influence of Grandpa said. And this has been definite. And it being a Cowboys, man, that is just awesome. That's so America. So there's going to be, you know, Bundy the movie, you know. So, oh, yeah, I bet you there is. The talk of a movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been approached, and actually – between you and I, we're right in the middle of it.
We're recording everything, so I just, you know,
okay,
be careful.
Yeah.
But the you know, so I want to, you got to be careful what you, who you, because it gets co-opted, you know what I mean? Netflix will pay extra for them to do it.
Yeah. Well, I know, and that's the challenge, because you want it to end up to be the story, right? You don't want it to be just some Hollywood made up thing. And anyway, so we'll see how that happens. It's a long ways from fruition, I guess. So,
well, it'll happen sooner or later. If it's made in freaking Austria or something, I mean, somebody's gonna do it. You know, they don't laugh, man. I've seen, you know, this new trend of bypassing Hollywood with crowdsourced funding of directors.
Sure.
Do I want you to do this about that? All right, you know, give me some money and I'll do it. Come here, baby. Give me a hug real quick.
No,
you're scary. You're right.
many things are changing when it comes to being able to accomplish things because of our ability to communicate online.
Yes, and that might be something that, but how isolated were you? We'll talk about in this segment, we'll kind of focus on prison life a little bit and what your perspective was, how much news you got, what were people telling you, what kept your spirits up. I mean, it's on knees and pray time, man. I mean, it's amazing what happened. And I kind of suspected that it was going to have this kind of result, but did you? All right, we'll be right back. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Ammon Bundy. This is, for those of you that don't know, it's just a cowboy family of out in the southwest of you can suck it and leave us alone, and the Constitution says, and contracts or whatever, and they go, nah, we like it, and we want your land and get over it, and it's people like you we need to squash, and this whole cowboy mentality of the frontier and pioneer and all that kind of stuff is the problem. This individualism of the cowboy is what we're fighting against. We have the collectivism of the computer nerd or something. I mean, I don't know what the heck we're up against, but I tell you, it was represented in this battle with cows and horses and lassos and spurs and, you know, Winchesters and six guns and stuff. I'm just going, woo, it's on. Well, to the point that those were not going to back down, and they thought you would. Well, you got a family that would not, with the support of a bunch of other people that have been in the same situations, which is why they went to Oregon. Same thing was happening up there. So this is, after your incarceration, you're in prison. Describe that for us. How much communication you had? What do you think was going on outside? Were you aware of this cultural thing? You come out and you got, like, you know, Hillary, not president, you know, so give us all that, monologue me through this so people understand what you think they need to know. Go.
Well, prison inside, you know, was obviously restrictive, and most people don't know, but there's a difference between actual prison and these detention centers that hold you supposedly for pre-trial, right? And these detention centers are tremendously worse conditions to live in than prison, because supposedly we're supposed to have something called speedy trial rights, where we, you know, have a right to go to trial quickly. And so, you know, you're only supposed to be in these things for, you know, maybe a month or two, or even just a few weeks. But we were in them for 2 years, almost 2 years. And we were never able to, you know, physically see or touch or hold or our children or our wives. Most of the time, we were in them. The only way you can communicate is either by phone, which they charge you an astronomical amount to communicate with your family, or if they come to the facility, so there's a video machine. So they actually have to come to the facility, and then they still can't see you. You know, you get on this, you know, 1985 video machine, and you get to communicate with your family that way. You know, and they're in a little room with a whole bunch of other families, so it's loud. There's no privacy. Anyway, it's really terrible. And I've got little children, you know, at the time from not even 1 year old up to 13 years old.
Now, we're showing pictures of you and your children around you when you're getting out and so on. It's just, it's horrific what they were doing and why.
It was terrible.
But what was your feeling of, was this going to go on forever? You're like, oh, they're going to get theirs. It's worth it. I mean, you know, how are you feeling during this time?
Well, you know, at times you kind of lose a little bit of faith, I guess. But we never despaired, because we always knew. Like, this has been a spiritual thing. Like, we know that this is what is right. I mean, you know, if there's a God, and I believe there's a God, I strongly believe there's a God. I think there's been plenty of evidence in my life that there's a God. But if you want a question, you know, then look at this situation. And God does care about our freedom. I mean, he sent us here so that we can choose who we want to be. You know, then later he'll you know, judge us. But here is a place and a time for us to be able to act how we want to act and decide who we want to be and who we're going to follow, what kind of person we're going to be. It's not a time to be oppressed and incarcerated by other men. And so God was on our side. He's been on our side. That's what America is about. That's what, you know, freedom is. And so, I mean, and we saw that. We never lost hope. There was times it was hard, times that we would question, you know, but because those detention centers are designed to break you down so you'll take a plea.
Okay, is that what that was going on behind the scenes? I got this could all end if you'd only.
Yeah, well, they're designed. I mean, just for example, in 2017, I spent over half the year, well, around half the year, in solitary confinement. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. I was an innocent man, not convicted of anything. And I spent almost 6 months in a concrete box, never seeing the sun, never communicating with anybody. I was even held from going to my own hearings and my own trial at first.
And, this is movie stuff, okay? This is torture. This is, you know, there's a lot of other people in the news, you know, that I don't want to get off on a tangent, but this is the modus operandi. This is how they do it. And it takes, they have to have a new playbook for people of faith. You know, they're going, damn it, we can only do this for so long, especially when they're sitting here watching us the whole time. So at the end of this, when it comes out, you got to go into the actual trial, right?
Yeah, finally what happened was the judge was like, you know, why is he not in our trial? And they tried to lie to him and lie to her, actually. Anyway, the truth finally came out, and so she reprimanded them and actually made an order that they are not to put me in solitary confinement again. But that was at the very end. I mean, I could go on. Like for example, when they took us up in the first hearing of our trial hearing, the marshals, when they took us up in the elevator, they beat us up, like twisted our arms. We're handcuffed behind our back, smashed our heads into the side of the side of the elevator. And when we got up into the courtroom and our attorneys saw us and saw that we were pretty frazzled and that our wrists were bleeding, both Ryan and my wrists were bleeding, our attorneys were extremely upset. This was all like the last go at it.
What did the judge do? I mean, the judge go, oh, well, hey, you made it alive.
The marshals just lied to him. They lied to him. And the judge just automatically believes her. I believe him. I don't understand it. It was so frustrating because here
Bundy,
you are. Literally.
The movie. Oh, ho, bring it on, bring it on. You go, oh, that's another good scene. We got to make a three-parter out of this one.
Anyway, the truth finally came out. We knew it was. We knew it was going to come out. The jury, you know, was clearly on our side. And they saw that another acquittal, just like in Oregon, was coming. And that was going to set a precedent with to secure my dad's rights on the ranch and all that they've been doing. And so they literally pulled the plug on the whole thing and dismissed the case with prejudice.
That was how this ended? They didn't even go to a jury? They just said, never mind?
Yeah, in Nevada. Yeah. The case was dismissed with prejudice.
Oh, wait. This thing with the beat up and bloody and handcuffs and the marshals coming, that was the Nevada one, not the Oregon one?
That was Nevada, yep.
What? Oh, you done pissed off somebody. Who?
Yeah.
Who are you? What the? What's this secret little star chamber government thing they got going on against the Cowboys? We're going to find out.
Covering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative.
FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Yeah, revolution between the ears. Woo-hoo! God, you know, keep the faith, you know, during all the, we're going to go up the red pill, and one of the big motivations is to see you, because I just want to touchy-feely and kind of, you know, give my brother a hug and, you know, good. But I'm, what kind of support were you getting from the, did you know how much people were paying attention?
Well, we only had indications, like, I received thousands of letters all over the world, not mostly in the country, of course, but all over the world.
They let you see them? You were getting your mail?
Most of the time, they let me have them, and when they didn't, they would, like, put them in a package, and then I'd get them later. So I think most of the time, they rejected a lot of them for little, you know, ridiculous stuff, but most of the people would resend them and write a little subletter in there, say, I sent this at this time, but it was rejected, you know. So I think most of the letters did get to me, yes.
Wow.
And I wasn't alone. I mean, my brothers, my father, and, you know, many friends were also, of course, in the same situation, and they were receiving that great support, too. And, you know, another interesting thing, Ernest, is my parents are, you know, we have a blog spot, the Bundy Ranch blog spot, right? Mm-hmm. And when you go into the statistics of that blog spot, it's like 3 or 4% like are viewing or have viewed that blog spot are from like Europe, you know? And then you got like 2 from like Australia. And so this really is, you know, people from all over the world, I think, are questioning, like, what is America going to do with freedom? What are they going to do, you know? And they see this as somewhat of an answer to that.
I am, see, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets messy first.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they go, no, it's going to die in the darkness of the God. I go, no, it never does. And with the internet and the accuracy and the and immutability of information, that's one reason why we do this thing called IPFS, called Interplanetary File Sharing. And what it is it nodes out, kind of like cryptos worked, where I can take terabytes of data, put it on the internet, and it gets replicated. It's not in any one place. It's everywhere, and it can never be deleted. So with that, just that technology that we are using, navigating, and that it exists, that right there has changed everything. Because that's been the memory hole crap they always do. You know?
Sure.
All right, here we come.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hanks.
Oh, everybody gets one of those.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
So good. So good.
I got you here. Oh, I feel nice.
Okay, I'll give you one of those, Ammon, just because I can, because damn it. You know, I was, you know, I really was very pleased. And a lot of us were watching, we were reporting, and when they finally, you know, did the Oregon thing, then, hey, here we go to Nevada again. That. And the biggest thing that we heard was that eventually it was dismissed because the prosecution was getting nailed on all the crap that they were doing. And even a in-the-pocket judge just couldn't hide it anymore. So finally they had to have, screw it, We didn't get the people to rise up against the Bundys or something. I don't know what the hell they were thinking taking on real cowboys. It just, look, the optics was terrible. And while you're incarcerated and all this stuff going on, when you finally get out, you know, and there's so much other stuff I want to. We'll do that another time. But I'm really looking for, when you come out, it's like a time capsule. Where did you think America, has it got worse? The battle had been more mature, understanding of what this was all about. Things are coming, the pendulum swinging your way. What do you think when you come out and you're like, okay, did we progress or not?
Well, when we were in either in the refuge or first incarcerated, the presidential campaign was in full swing. And President Trump actually said that one of his campaign promises was that he was going to relieve the ranchers in the West, okay? And so, you know, obviously we knew there's several other indicators indicated to us that we were, you know, this situation was having quite a big impact, you know, in national politics. And one other thing, too, to kind of give you evidence of that was 22 days before Obama left office is when he signed the executive order to turn our ranch into a national monument. I think it was the last thing Obama did.
That son of a bitch, man. Holy crap.
So, I mean, you think, okay, what's, you know, I mean, it's like, I'm going to do this right before I leave. I'm going to flip the bird at him, if you want to say. And I'm like, this is what I'm doing. I don't get why it would be that important to him or on a national level.
Because somebody told him. You know, he don't care. He's just there. What do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do that. I'm just like, who? What are we up against? Now, so did Trump immediately, you know, undo that or what?
No, and that was the disappointing thing. That's been the disappointing thing. Although Trump has done some good, you know, good things, and I'm not in any way wanting to get down on him, but none of the Republican presidents have undone what the liberals have done. None of the, you know, that's the problem. You know, they lay 10 things on us that really destroy and hurt, you know, the property rights and liberty, and then the Republicans come in and they take a half a thing off. And then they say, well, we're fighting for you, you know. No, you have to undo the bad, or eventually it collapses the table, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. And so, anyway, that's maybe another topic for another time. But
no, this is the topic. They're using this, you know, it's kind of, you know, like Trump will go, yeah, I don't vaccinate, and you probably shouldn't vaccinate, but, you know, I'm not really in the fight of that much. Well, I guess he's better than that person. I'm sick of that. You know, I'm looking for a candidate that's going to be, you know, clearly consistent. You know, again, like another Ron Paul thing, that comes again in this 2020 cycle, especially when we have, like, getting a lot of attention, Tulsi Gabbard's anti-war Democrat, Trump saying he's anti-war Republican, you have anti-war libertarian, anti-war grand, anti-war. Are we going to get anti-war? You know, probably not. So it's all, what, and all of this that you've been doing this for your life, what are we up against? What is the shadow, you know, that we're up against?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, we have great evidence that, you know, in the 70s, clear back in the 70s, the Nixon and Ford, they collateralized our, you know, our land. And that's very destructive. And, you know, if people want to understand that a little bit better, basically our gold reserve was run out. We had already extended basically our paper dollar and made it the world currency, and nations like France and others were getting concerned that we couldn't back our dollar, and so they actually collateralized most of the Western United States.
Wow.
That's part of it, you know. Then you've got Harry Reid. So now that's why all of a sudden in the late 70s. You start seeing the federal government in their terminology claiming ownership of it, when before it was unappropriated land, state land, and with certain vested rights already established on it, and under the jurisdiction of the counties or the states, however you want to look at it. And it was in the 70s that they came in and said, "Hey, this is
been this is undisposed land, it's unappropriated. They didn't even say that. They just said they just began to claim it as federal land. And now, you know, 40 years later, most of the people in the West call it BLM land or federal land, and it's just absolutely incorrect legally and every other way. But they've got this momentum. They've got people believing it, and I mean, it's completely destructive to liberty, and the West cannot function unless we can have our land and resources, including our water. And so, you know, that's kind of the battle, I guess.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's water, it's land, it's free. See, this is the one thing that has changed a lot of things for me. And I'd love to live more rurally than what we do. We have a couple of acres, you know, in city limits of Phoenix. You know, I mean, you know, it's a little horse property thing here. So we kind of got a little bit of elbow room, and I can park some RVs, and which, of course, my sons do. And so I like having a little bit of land. It's getting too city-fied. I mean, it is just, you can feel them coming, but where can I go? Well, technology has changed to where now solar is a real thing. You have much more efficient panels. I need much less area. Batteries are a lot cheaper and a lot more effective. And then it's communication. Now we're starting to have satellite-based, you know, Starlink, Intralink of CubeSat of whatever the hell. I'm going to be anywhere on the planet, and I can get high-speed internet. So I'm going, you know what? A little rain harvesting or a well, and we're good. We can go live on the Lone Prairie like the Bundy's been doing for a century. So I'm going, all right, this is going to change everything. Well, they have to shut that down. There's no way in hell we want to get them off our grid from living in our sea container next to the light rail system for transportation and everything a body needs of a garden hose with a matrix gruel in it, okay? So this is what they want. Packed like rats, controlled, do whatever, and when they're done with this, it's then here's a virus. But this concept of what you represent, the concept, the freedom on the land, that there is so much freaking land. People from the Northeast don't understand. You look in a plane, everything's gridded out. This farm, there's lines everywhere. You come out to the West, there's lines nowhere. It is open.
Yeah, in fact, I did the math. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but I going off memory, and I think I'm right. I think in Arizona, where you're at, a household, each household that as a resident of Arizona, could own 38 acres each household, but it's all locked up. It's all, you know,
16% of Arizona is in private hands. The rest of it is some government gunnery range, reservation, BLM, something. I mean, Arizona is not as much private, you know, land available as people think, and no, it's not supposed to be that way. Well, that's a whole nother thing that the Bundy's movement and everything has brought up. And when we come back, on Finnegan's way to talk to the sheriff and you guys being up there, what was it that the man did not want everybody to know so bad they're willing to kill?
From the first letter of Dr. Idris Barber, I've healed many landlubbers, but could have healed countless more if they were willing to break the law to preserve themselves. The Crown required that I obey leeching privateers who didn't share my oath to do no harm. I was forbidden from discussing the treatments I knew patients needed. The Crown claims to protect landlubbers from bankrupting medical expenses, but only seduces them into begging for relief, while privateers monopolize the management of chronic illness. This royal alliance has constructed a medical hegemony that denies science, discredits alternative remedies, and mandates unwanted treatments, while callously ignoring the victims dying on waiting lists. They have produced a society increasingly addicted, impoverished, diseased, and suicidal. My conscientious objections and medical ambitions required not only seeing this cage, but leaving it. That's why I raised my black banner. Among pirates, the Crown's tantrums are irrelevant. You own your body without qualification. Open ocean medicine enables healers and customers to build a relationship of mutual consent. Prices decrease, quality increases, and physicians become as accessible as barbers. Customers determine their own medical care, whether that's experimental treatments, prohibited plants, controversial procedures, bootleg pharmaceuticals, or even the right to die. Any system of command and control is rejected. In time, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and cybernetic prosthetics could take the human condition beyond our imagination. Medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, and erase our fundamental physical limitations. With the crown in our wake and the individual at the helm, we are free to pursue an unfettered life. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, when we come back, where do you want to take it? We want to continue. I want to make sure we get, you know, what's happening socially, you know, culturally, what surprised you.
I mean, yeah, I know we haven't quite got there. I guess we started there, but, you know, you set it up of, you know, why they would kill to stop the message.
Yeah, what was the message? Okay, yeah, that's what, you know, yeah, we'll do that. Now that comes in. Let me
and
see.
And then we can maybe wrap it up with this, you know, this evidence of a culture change. I don't think it's strong enough, my personal, but it is there, and people actually,
they were trying to convince us it was non-existent, and I'm going, yeah, you see, that ain't so. You know, so.
Well, I think that things that happened with my family and other situations awoke enough people up that President Trump was elected. That's a pretty good indicator. And it'll be interesting to see what this next election does. But I don't know that it matters too much.
Yeah, no, that's kind of my thing. I'm like, you know, so. You know, I'm just, I don't.
But it is an indicator that people are, if you want to just say disgruntled, you know. I mean, I know that's probably not the right term, but I mean, people are like, look, this is not working. This is not right.
Okay, we're coming back. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Here we go.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
He was a man who loved to walk the land. Turn his cheek, but also take a stand. When his conviction called, he followed what he felt was right.
Hi, this is Jordan Page. The Boy Finicum, Cowboys Stand for Freedom. It's just from him from the couch. Just turn on the camera and just do it. And did it was awesome. What was the first time you got to hear that song, Amon?
You know, it was about, I don't know, a few months after I got out, which would be, you know, January 2018. And, yeah, Jordan actually sent it to me. And it was beautiful. Beautiful.
It was very relieving of a grieving family to sit there. They just sat there and just listened to it over and over. It was just awesome. And I've seen him perform it live several times, and it's just powerful. And this when you get it, we were wanting to finish up on, you know, this cultural thing, this impact that you had, and you know, this had an impact, I'm sure. But go ahead and finish where we left off, would you please?
Well, so, you know, we were talking about them attacking Lavoie, or us, when we went to Grant County in Oregon, and they ended up killing him. He had his hands raised, and the interesting thing, some background on that, is 2 days before that, Governor of Oregon, Governor Brown, she wrote a letter to the FBI saying that the virus is spreading and it needs to be stopped. And, well, you know, you have to ask, well, what's the virus that's spreading? Well, it was the truth of what we were saying. What we were doing in the refuge wasn't just holding out, you know, and just occupying. We were inviting hundreds of people, and thousands actually probably, well, I wouldn't say thousands, but over 1,000 came to the refuge, and including county commissioners, state representatives, and we were having seminars, and we were teaching about these fundamental natural rights that people have, and that was the virus that was spreading. So what was going out? People were going out to their communities
And they were organizing these large community groups and inviting us to come and share this message with them. So then on the way to Grant County, where the county sheriff was going to be there, and we, you know, the best our estimate, there was going to be at least 400 people there to share this message. Well, they had to stop us. So they caught us in where there was no service, phone service. They had premeditated it. They'd even dug their little foxholes and everything. And when we came into that area, they ambushed us and ultimately killed Lavoie Finicum and put us in prison for 2 years. The reason why is they could not allow this message to be told. And interesting, kind of getting back to the, you know, cultural change or maybe this time capsule idea when we were in prison. Well, we finally get to a jury in Oregon after 10 months of incarceration, you know, which is another law of their own laws that they break. We're supposed to be able to go to trial within 70 days because we retained our speedy trial rights. But anyway, we finally get there, and now we have literally the most liberal jury you could probably have, meaning what I mean as far as the area. It's Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Right? And we are acquitted on all charges. All of us are acquitted on all charges. The jury is like, we can see through this. We can see what is happening. It is very clear, and we're not going to allow it to happen.
Now, the jury instructions from the judge, were they such that he was kind of, you're going to have to get some. You know, you're going to have, I mean, what were the jury instructions like?
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. It was terrible. I mean, all the odds were against us. I mean, absolutely. In fact, they even had a jury member that, you know, I'm going to say it this way, but basically that they planted. And why do I say that? Because after the 8-week trial, they go to deliberation. They're in deliberation for 5 days, right? And the only reason why they didn't decide early that we were not guilty was because of one juror. And he kept saying, you know, and spinning things around. Well, anyway, he actually, in the communication, he said, well, do you think it matters if I'm biased? That's what he said. Well, anyhow, because that got out, it was a question that another juror asked to the judge, and they had to read it to us. They started doing research. They found out that this individual, this juror, was a BLM employee at one time. And
oh my God!
Anyway, so he ended up getting kicked not because he was a BLM employee, but because of his words in saying that he was basically biased or coming out. You know, and he said that in one of his words. He ended up getting removed from the jury. They put an alternate jury, and within a few minutes, they come out with a verdict of not guilty on all charges. So the point being is they tried everything they could to convict us. The judge tried to give jury instructions to the jury that basically they couldn't judge the law. They could only judge the facts. There was all you know, but the jury saw the truth. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because people are seeing it. A jury saw it, you know, an election proved that, people are seeing it. And just kind of as a time frame, President Trump was elected just weeks after we were acquitted in Oregon. And then we go to Nevada. We have to go through all that terrible for another year and a half in incarceration in these detention centers. We finally get in front of another jury, and the same thing starts to happen. In fact, when they dismissed our case with prejudice, they allowed the jury to speak to us, right? Because we, you know, we were released at that point, and so they allowed the jury to speak to us. And I spoke to 9 out of the 12, and every one of them said that if we were to go deliberate right now, we would have found you not guilty. So, yes, I think in some way we have good evidence that people are seeing it. But the issue is seeing it's only a little part of it. Correcting it is a whole nother bag of trouble.
Well, this has been my thing. It's all, I've been really hammering on this. It's just general public opinion. And that's what you see when you get juries acquitting, when you see people go, what the heck is... It's just general public opinion. and iconic image of Cowboys Stand for Freedom. I mean, all you guys have been just amazing as a representation, and God forbid the wrath of opinion after they do the movie. You know, so this is, so we can count on one way or another, there's going to be some movie about this documentary. They've already had a bunch of, I mean, a made for primetime TV or big star movie a coming. You know, you kind of think that might happen? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's coming. I think it'll be another couple of years, but yeah, I definitely think it's coming. And I just hope they can get it right, you know, because to me, there's not two sides. I mean, there's only one side, and that's our side. And I know that might seem biased, but what is the other side? Is it big government? Is it big money? Is it, you know, is it world control? I mean, what is the other side? I mean, to me, it's only one side, and that is an individual has a right to live free. He has a right to own property. He has to have a place to live. And we shouldn't have to get permission from other men to move and to act.
Okay, this is it. Before we run out of time, you are the person that understand this effort that we're going through. And there's a legislator, a free state guy that moved, a libertarian, freedom-oriented New Hampshire. He's a legislator. They're trying to boot him out of a burned-out farm that he bought, and the barn was there, and he puts an RV in there, starts living there while he's doing whatever. You didn't have the right permits. We don't like you. Didn't vote our way on whatever. So I'm going, whoa. I understand now. Building permits is one thing. It's the United Nations kind of, we had three different regions here and they combined it and all this other stuff. They're always collectivizing everything. But this is what happened. I realized what it was. It's the occupancy permit. If you're allowed to occupy the sidewalk in Seattle, you know, and crap in the street and they'll clean it up for you, you know, but if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? No, you have to have a permission slip to live on. You live on the sidewalk, but you can't live on your own land without a permission slip. That right there has been the sustainable of whatever the hell, a development of you're not allowed. We do away with this occupancy permit of the ability to live on your own land, dwell, camp, whatever the hell it is. All of a sudden, all their power starts to go away. And that is what I realized just this summer. What has given them this power? Occupancy permits. What do you think?
Well, the Supreme Court said this. If the state converts a right into a privilege, the citizen can ignore the license and the fee and engage in the right with impunity. And that's Shuttleworth versus City of Brigham, 373 U.S. 262.
Okay, now wait a minute. Give me the decision again. What was the bottom line? Was what?
Shuttleworth versus the City of Brigham, Alabama. 373 U.S. 262. Let me read another one to you.
No. Wait, read what the conclusion was. You can't because of what? What was the phrase?
If the state converts a right into a privilege,
okay,
the citizens can ignore the license and fee and engage in the right with impunity.
Oh, hell yeah. All right.
Let me read you another one.
Okay, wait. Give me the site. I just got my pen in my hand. Give me the citation for that.
Shuttleworth versus City of Brigham, Alabama, I think it's Brigham, Alabama, 373 U.S. 262.
Okay.
Let me read you another one. No state shall convert a liberty into a license and charge a fee therefor. Murdoch versus Pennsylvania, 319 U.S. 105. And one other. Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, go.
Supreme Court warned, because of what appears to be lawful commands on the surface, many citizens, because of their respect for what appears to be law, are cunningly coerced into waiving their rights due to ignorance. U.S. versus Meeker, 350 U.S. 179, 187.
Okay, 350 U.S. what?
179, 187.
This gets me started, Ammon. Thank you. This has been a revelation since this, because we want to be able to go somewhere. I just spent a few weeks in New England, traveled around and so on. Oh, you got to move to New Hampshire and summer home there, do the thing. I go, yeah, you find me a place where I don't have to ask permission to dwell on my own land. I'm all over it. And, oh, gotcha. We don't have building codes in this city. I go, no, go take a look. And we actually pulled it up. I think it was yesterday or the day before online. And there it says, it goes, but you got to have your occupancy permit. That is where they get you.
They're taking and controlling your right, turning it into a privilege. And according to the Supreme Court ruling, they cannot do that. I mean, we don't need the Supreme Court to tell us that, but they have already ruled on that. You know, another thing that I wanted to emphasize, and I don't have the reference, I really should, but it was the one of the newer Supreme Court justices basically said that many of these issues of freedom that we have, that we see, the Supreme Court are not allowed to resolve them because people just comply. And I know that's a bad paraphrase, but basically they're not giving them the opportunity to actually strike down a lot of these things because people just comply. The cities do this, the states do this.
Yeah.
You know, the federal agencies do this, and people just, they just comply rather than saying no. And standing there and then fighting, and, you know, according to this justice, he says that they, a lot of these issues they would resolve, but they never come to them.
Well, this is what our experience in Arizona, because I got, you know me, man, I had a bunch of lawsuits and this stuff. And what happened was, and of course, you know, Sheriff Mack, we had on just before you, we went through this with him. And what happens, they'll do it. Yeah, okay, you win. They back off. And they're back 2 years later doing the same crap. You know, they're unrelenting. And you and your family know this.
Well, and we pay them to do it. I mean, right. I am fed up to my eyeballs with paying my enemies to destroy me and my family.
I'm hit. Hi, look forward to seeing you. I get to my next guest. But Ammon, can I say congratulations? I mean, do you think, you know, you feel like you came out ahead? I mean, is it just starting? What?
Yeah, I mean, we were protected. This force is real. And the Lord, you know, and I'm so grateful that he did it, but he found favor in us and he delivered us and showed not once, but twice. Actually, if you want to take, you know, the Bundy standoff more than that, he showed us that he will protect us if we're willing to endure through, you know, the suffering that we have to go in between, and he did that, and it's been miraculous. It's been amazing, and there's only when you look at everything that happened and how things happen and little incremental things, you know, he gave us the advantage.
Well, I'm looking at these cases here. I'm going to start putting them up. Let me make sure I got this run right. It's Murdoch versus Pennsylvania, correct?
Let me get to you. Murdoch versus Pennsylvania.
Shuttlesworth versus City of Birmingham.
That's correct.
And United States versus Minker.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that's Birmingham, Alabama.
Got it. All right. I'm going to put these up in the show notes. I'm going to send these to Donna to get up in there right away. And because this is what I've been looking. See, this is what happens. It's the synergy of we're focus of towards, and you got it, and I should have known the freaking call I am in to begin with. All right. So this is, you know, where the Constitution has been interpreted, the Supreme Court saying, look, man, if I got a right, do I have a right to own property? I either I do or I don't. And then they, you know, they put liens on it because I owe taxes. They put, you're not allowed to occupy it because of this. You can go live on the sidewalk, that's okay, but you go buy land and you want to camp and not allowed. You know, this is fundamentally wrong at such a foundational level, and I want to bring attention to it. So that's what we're doing and why I was making the trips and going, because it's the presidential election cycle in New Hampshire. We got a bunch of activists up there, and we're going to go pirate. And the thing is, if it pleases the crown, may I dwell, may I occupy my own land. You know, and they're going to go, no. Okay, thanks. I just wanted to know. And I remember the Second Amendment stuff going on in the 90s, and they're, oh, no, we don't want to go to the Supreme Court. They might say, I don't care. Say it. I just want them to say it. Say it that I'm not free. Go ahead and say it. I just want to know.
You know? So you have to have permission before you can do anything. See, that's the opposite of freedom. In fact, let me, you know, if you got another second or two, that in both trials, both set of prosecutors, U.S. prosecutors.
Yeah, I got 20 seconds.
U.S. attorneys. They would say, well, Ammon Bundy or the Bundys think that they can do anything. Well,
yeah,
I would agree with them. As long as I don't infringe upon my neighbor's rights.
Yeah, what are you,
I
jealous?
I can do anything.
All right, I got to go,
that's
Ammon.
Freedom.
I'll see you up there. You know, I congratulations is not really the word. It's just power, man. You know, I respect. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Ernest.
You bet. Peace, brother.